Hi there, I'm Lisa Marley from the Off the Leash Podcasts team. On your feed to introduce a series of shortcasts focused around the Emily Williamson Festival. If you don't know who Emily was, she was a co-founder of the RSPB and was an eco-activist before the term was even invented. Taking inspiration from her legacy, modern-day changemakers explore the links between conservation, campaigning, science, and art in a weekend of events at Manchester Art Gallery between the 12th and 14th of November 2021. In this shortcast, Off the Leash Podcast's very own Charlie Moores talks about his own experience as a birder and how he never knew how much he had to thank Emily Williamson for. He also talks about how much more work there is to do and how it's just as important as ever that we use our voices for nature.
Back in July, we here at Off the Leash Podcasts uploaded a wonderful shortcast by campaigner and author Tessa Bowes titled The Story of the RSPB's Women Founders. Yep, the RSPB's Women Founders. Tessa's brilliant shortcast opened with a fascinating question. How did we get to love birds and stop wearing them? Over the next 10 minutes or so, Tessa gave us the answer, focusing in on Emily Williamson, one of three remarkable women who took on the then powerful, rapacious plumage trade and won, founding in 1889, the Society for the Protection of Birds. 15 years later, in 1904, her society received royal assent, setting a template for bird conservation that has been used ever since. A remarkable woman and a remarkable shortcast. That question Tessa asked, how did we get to love birds and stop wearing them, really resonated with me because I've been a birder for most of my life and, to be very honest, when I was younger, it had never occurred to me to ask why there were birds for me to see. And to be honest again, until recently, it had never occurred to me that the answer might in part be Emily Williamson. But this sounds like a little bit of an excuse. When I was younger, why would it? Birds just sort of live, don't they? They're just around, always have been, hopefully always will be. Years later, of course, I know that's not the case at all. Now birds largely live in the few spaces that we allow them. But if we think our bird life is diminished now, and without doubt, and is detailed in every survey, there are far fewer birds around than even a few decades ago. Without people like Emily Williamson, many of them would have almost certainly vanished entirely. Yeah, maybe someone else would have looked at all those piles of dead birds on all those hats and questioned whether we should really be killing on such an irredeemable and industrial scale, but maybe they wouldn't have done. Maybe we would have just carried on emptying sea cliffs, emptying our rivers and lakes, emptying our woodlands and fields until our countryside had fallen silent and still. But Emily Williamson did ask that question. I still vividly remember the first time I became aware of birds. I was very young and running past a hedge along the edge of a field when something startlingly buttery yellow caught my eye. It was like a small sun sitting on top of a small brown body. I'd never seen anything like it before. My parents had a budgerigar at home, living out a solitary, forlorn life I came to understand some years later. But while that was blue and this was the colour of a lemon, it was surely also something exotic, an escapee from a cage in a living room that had somehow found its way into the Surrey countryside. I went home and told my mum about it. She bought me a book about birds. This was a long time before the internet, of course. And we worked out that it wasn't something strange or foreign. It was a yellowhammer, a well-known bird that nests on or close to the ground but sings from the top of a hedge. A little bit of bread and no cheese. A little bit of bread and no cheese. Back then, it didn't occur to me to ask why there was a book about birds with a painting of a yellowhammer in it and a page of information on where yellowhammers and every other British bird nested and where they were found and where they came from in the summer or went to in the winter. People write books, birds are beautiful, so of course people wrote books about birds. Oh, and what birds there were to see! Birds in my garden, birds in the woods near the house, birds that lived by water, birds that ate seeds, birds that caught flies, birds that flew impossibly fast and impossibly far. Birds with yellow heads. Bluebirds, green birds, stripy birds, speckled birds, birds with beaks, birds with bills, birds I could cycle to when I was old enough to be allowed to. Birds I could drive to see years later. Birds I could find on trips around the world, even years later still. It takes enormous efforts to change hearts and minds, to overturn established practices, stand firm as the powerful and well-connected ridicule or ignore you. It's almost impossible for me to imagine how you do any of that when you're disenfranchised, when you have no privilege, have no power except your will and drive and determination. But without people like Emily Williamson, who took birds seriously, who decided that birds matter, there may never have been bird books with information and paintings and people watching birds instead of shooting them or collecting them or wiring them to hats. We have come a long way since Emily Williamson looked at birds in a different way and began her movement to stop them being killed in vast numbers. My life, maybe your life if you're listening to this, might have been so very different if she hadn't. Yeah, it's true. When I was young, birdwatching was actually very uncool. It was nerdy. If a character on television was a birdwatcher or bird spotter, as they were typically labelled, they were always a bit weird. They were often a vicar. They crept about hiding in bushes, and there'd always be a nudge-nudge birds, eh, line, and the audience would laugh. But we had Bill Oddie and his little black bird book. We had the AA Book of Birds. We had Cly and Nancy's Cafe. And we had the RSPB. My RSPB, whose members organised trips and talked about birds like it was, well, like it was a normal thing to do. We may not have been part of the mainstream, but getting excited about looking at birds, that wasn't odd after all. Now, though, just saying I'm a birder doesn't really feel like it's enough. Our biodiversity is in trouble. A recent study by scientists at London's Natural History Museum found that the UK is one of the worst rated nations in the world for the extent to which its ecosystems have retained their natural animals and plants. Almost half of Britain's natural biodiversity has disappeared since the 1970s. Their data mirrors the 2020 Living Planet Index report from WWF, which found an average 68% decrease in global population sizes of birds, mammals, amphibians, reptiles and fish between 1970 and 2016. The BTO's 2020 Bird Trends report stated that there are 28 species for which our best long-term trends show statistically significant population declines of greater than 50% over periods of 31 to 51 years. That's my lifetime. Just last week, Butterfly Conservation's 2021 Big Butterfly Count was released. They recorded its lowest ever number of butterflies, prompting conservationists to warn that nature is in crisis. That yellowhammer I saw, long gone, along with the hedge I saw it on, along with the field the hedge grew in, and even the woodland I walked through to get to the field and the hedge. In fact, that once common species, the yellowhammer, is now red-listed in the UK, with local population declines of more than half. Saying a yellowhammer I saw all those years ago isn't there anymore is, that sounds like a ridiculous observation to make given how long ago it was. But this isn't the first time I've wondered how different my own life might have been if that kid running along that field had been running through a city centre instead. Or just how many birders or naturalists, conservationists or campaigners we have lost because so many of the startlingly beautiful sights that can literally stop a child in their tracks are gone. The challenges facing us might seem on an entirely different scale to the challenges that faced Emily Williamson, but I don't think they are. More than ever before, we need to channel her can-do spirit. If we love birds, we need to say so. If we love nature, we need to say so. It'll take time to turn around the massive problems that we face. Time we perhaps don't think we have. But it took Emily Williamson 20 long years to halt the plumage trade. And she had to do that from a standing start. We are a long way from a standing start. Just look at the panel Tesha has put together to give the inaugural Emily Williamson debate at the inaugural Emily Williamson Festival in Manchester next month. Megan McCubbin, zoologist, naturalist, campaigner and Springwatch presenter, is chairing. On the panel is Becky Spate, CEO of the RSPB itself. Professor Juliet Vickery, CEO of the BTO and President of the British Ornithologists Union. Dr. Amy Jane Beer, biologist, nature writer and campaigner. And Professor Melissa Bateson, a bird scientist and Emily Williamson's great-great-niece. As Tessa herself says, for the first time in British history, women are the key players in a traditional male arena, our birding institutions. How inspiring is that? Just think of the potential that appointments like these could unleash. The brilliant, passionate minds that can see that there is a path to the very top of nature conservation in the UK. And wouldn't it be fantastic to be able to say to Emily Williamson herself, look what you helped start. Look what you helped make happen.
Off the Leash Podcast is proud to support the Emily Williamson Festival, celebrating female voices in conservation and Emily's legacy, which goes to show that one voice, anyone's voice, can make a difference. Join the murmuration at Manchester Art Gallery between the 12th and 14th of November 2021 and be in the room where ideas take flight. Find out more and book tickets at emilywilliamsonstatue.com/festival. Thank you for listening. To hear more from Off the Leash podcasts, follow us on your favourite podcast streaming service. And if you're interested in creating a short cast of your own, please get in touch with us at OTL Podcasts on Twitter, OTL Pods on Instagram, or by using our website, offtheleashpodcasts.co.uk.